Anthony Robles has been fighting his entire life. And yes, that's because he's a wrestler, but it's not the only way that he's been battling. You see, Anthony was born with only one leg. So when he first started wrestling, he got a lot of strange looks. But Anthony quickly set them straight, winning match after match throughout high school and college. He even won the 2011 National Championship of College Wrestling.
Anthony Robles has shown us that impossible is nothing. Anthony Robles is a national champion.
Anthony Robles, who was inducted to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame in 2012, joins me now to talk about what fighting really means. Anthony Robles, it's great to have you on Latino USA. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm honored.
I'm sure there was a point in your life when you were little when you basically realized like, oh, wait a second. Everybody else has two and I've got one and that makes me different. Do you remember when that happened?
Actually, I remember it being a big deal when I first started going to school because, you know, obviously growing up with my siblings and my cousins, I noticed I was different. You know, I noticed I was missing my leg and they had two. But in my mind, it was basically the same thing as, you know, my sister being a girl and me being a boy. She had two legs. I had one. Nobody made it an issue until I started going to school. And I noticed that first day that kids were staring at me wide eyed. You know, they're kind of whispering to each other. Some of them would even come up to me and ask me what happened.
And what would you say?
I would just tell them I was born that way. I was blessed with a great mom. You know, she'd always tell me, there's nothing wrong with you. You're made that way for a reason. You just got to wait and see what it is.
So she actually said there's a reason why, and soon or one day you're going to understand why you were born only with one leg.
That's exactly what she told me. She said, God made you that way for a reason. You just got to be patient.
When you decided to start wrestling, was there a part of you that was saying, maybe this is what I need to do to understand why I was only born with one leg? Or was it like, I can do that. It looks like fun. I mean, which...
My cousin wasn't the one who initially introduced me to wrestling. And when I first heard about it from him, I wasn't interested. I want to play football. I want to be a football player. But I was about 90 pounds as a freshman. So I learned pretty quick that I was going to be too small for football. And so, you know, I started asking him about wrestling. He said, okay, just come out to practice with me. I remember going to his practice. I went out on the mat. I wrestled one of his teammates who really just threw me around. I mean, it wasn't even close, but I walked away from that mat with just this burning sensation in my heart. Like I had finally found my place, you know, what I was meant to be doing.
But to not have a leg and say, wrestling is it, what was it about the sport that made you say, yeah, this is it?
Really what I loved about the sport is that anybody can do it, you know, because you don't have to be the tallest individual. You don't have to be the biggest, the strongest, the fastest. People always looked at me and right away they saw what I was missing. What my coach used to say, he said, we're going to focus on your strengths and camouflage your weaknesses. That's what drew me to the sport. You know, it's like, hey, look at me. Let me show you what I can do.
And then I guess you have your first match, right? What was going through your mind at that point?
Oh, yeah, I remember my first match. It was my freshman year, and I was actually at Mesa Junior High School in Mesa, Arizona. I remember we're in our locker room, just looking through the doors, getting ready to run out, you know, and the coach asked me to lead the team out. And so, you know, I grab my crutches, and I lead the line out to run around the mat. You know, I run out the doors right away. I see my mom. She's looking at me from the stands, cheering and smiling. And I noticed someone above her shoulders, like her left shoulder, a couple of bleachers up. They were like laughing and they were looking at me. And I just remember staring at them and seeing them laughing. And my mom kind of saw the look on my face. She stood up, she turned around, she saw the lady that was laughing. And, you know, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she snapped at her. And, you know, I'm trying to shake that from my mind. And so I take off my warm up gear, I jump on the mat. And out of all my matches in my career, that was the worst butt kicking I've ever had, honestly. Got my heart broken.
So you get your butt kicked, but you essentially stick with it. So how did you, in fact, learn to wrestle with one leg? Like, what did you, you know, develop as your secret moves?
Well, really, I have to give my coach all the credit for that. My high school coach, Bobby Williams, because he was the one who really started to help me figure out my style. And so he dropped me down to my knee. If my opponents want to attack me, they have to come down and put their hands on me. You know, I had a strong grip. So they try to grab me when in reality, that's exactly what I want them to do.
You know what it reminds me of? Because I'm short. I'm only 5 feet tall. But I do remember when it was a packed news conference I was so small that I was able to literally go under people, almost in between their legs, and then get up to the very front. And because I was short, I wasn't blocking anyone's camera.
Became an advantage. I remember coming into wrestling, I wanted to be just like everybody else. And so when my coach initially came to me with the idea of using my advantages, you know, I told him I didn't want to do that because all my other opponents were standing up on 2 feet. You know, what he used to tell me, by you fighting it, you're not using your natural God-given abilities to your advantage.
But then people started criticizing you and saying, wait. The fact that he only has one leg, he's using that to his advantage in an unfair way. And it's like they almost began to accuse you of cheating. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it happened, right?
Oh, it definitely did. You know, and it was funny how it changed so quickly. You know, people thought he can't wrestle because he's got one leg. And now all of a sudden it was unfair. Initially, that made me really mad. But you know, as I started to think about it more, I felt like it was something I could be proud of, people saying that, because I never wanted to be the sympathy case. Now, all of a sudden, I was doing so well and I was dominating, people were trying to tear me down. You know, and so I felt like, you know, I'm not the one-legged wrestler, poor kid. I'm becoming a successful wrestler.
Talk about your mom and what she meant to you growing up. So can you tell me a little bit more about your dad, though?
My stepdad raised me. You know, my last name, Robles, comes from him. And I didn't know he was my stepdad until I was, 6 or 7 years old. My biological father was never in the picture. He was never around. For some reason, my dad, I guess he just kind of struggled to accept me 100% as his son. And so it was a rough upbringing. You know, there were times where he really embraced me and, you know, I knew he loved me. He was proud of me. Things were good. And there are other times where I felt like an outcast.
At one point, your dad actually, like, told you. He said, I'm not your real dad.
Yeah. And I just remember the day he actually told me, I was in the van with him. My mom, she was getting her hair done in a salon. And so I just remember, you know, out of nowhere, he just kind of said, you know, I'm not your real dad. He basically left it at that. You know, I don't remember it being extremely harsh, but it definitely wasn't loving. You know, it wasn't, you know, I still love you. You're still my son. This is still your family. It was just, you know, I'm not your dad. And me being, I mean, I'm a young kid. I mean, it turned my world upside down. I started thinking, well, you know, is that why he's so hard on me? You know, because I'm not really his son. He was more of a burden on me than anything else. You know, my own father was once someone that hurt me more than he helped me. You know, I mean, I love my dad, but I don't respect him. It's been 6 years since I've spoken to him, one word.
But for you, wrestling was really like a way out, right?
The wrestling room and just being on the wrestling mat, it was, I called it my sanctuary. You know, it was calming to me, which sounds weird. You know, you have someone trying to smash your face in a wrestling mat. What I mean by that is I wasn't on the wrestling mat. I wasn't thinking about my dad. You know, I wasn't thinking about the tough stuff at home, about being uncomfortable at home, you know, and so everything else went black. During those rough times with my dad, there were plenty of times I didn't want to be home because I felt like he was going to find a reason to snap at me. And so during the hard times in my life, that's where I would go.
So you keep wrestling in college. And then in your senior year, you actually make it to the national championship. So walk me through what that was like.
My championship match, I remember that very well. You know, it's the end of a 3-day tournament. And so now there's one wrestling mat on a platform in the center of this huge arena, 20,000 people. It's sold out. And, you know, I remember I'm in the tunnel about to run out and ESPN had a camera in my face. You know, they're showing it live. And I kept turning my back to the camera and wiping my face because I was crying. I mean, I was scared. You know, I was thinking how it was going to be my last match. And the nerves were setting in because the guy I had to wrestle was the returning national champion. When I step on the mat, typically you're supposed to go to the center and grab your ankle bracelets. And so rather than me go to the center to grab my ankle bracelet, I walk straight to my corner where my coaches are going to be sitting, and I have my back to the center of the mat because the returning champ, he's coming out. I didn't want him to see the look in my eyes. I didn't want him to see that fear and for him to feed off of it. So I purposely stayed away from him. 9 years of training for this opportunity to wrestle for 7 minutes. I remember as I'm going through all this mentally, I look up in the crowd and my mom was there. My three brothers were there. My sister, my high school coaches were there. And one of my high school teammates, best friends and mentors was there. I just remember staring at them and just seeing them jumping up and down and cheering for me. And the fear just drained out of me. You know, the roar of the crowd, I didn't hear it anymore. I was just at peace. I went to the center, the ref blew the whistle. It was pretty much a blur. Everything was going so fast. But I do remember with 10 seconds left. Basically, I'm on the ground, his chest is on my back, and, you know, my face is on the ground. So, you know, he's smashing my face down. But the whole time, I'm just thinking in my head, I'm about to be a national champion. He can break my nose right now. He can smash my face. All my teeth can fall out on this wrestling mat. I'm not losing this one, you know. And I remember them getting down to zero. I dropped my whole body down to the mat. My face is on the mat. Closed my eyes for a second. And I just took a second to just live in that moment. You know, I closed my eyes. And I heard the roar of the crowd. You know, there's them saying the new national champion. And that was my dream. Honestly, I mean, the only way I could describe the feeling, it was like taking the breath for the first time. You know, it was just amazing. I didn't feel sore anymore. I wasn't hurting anymore. And I just stood up there, raised my arm up. And you know, every day, literally every day, I think about that moment.
After you win first place, you do something that is pretty entirely 100% unexpected. You decided to retire.
Yeah, I did decide to retire because my passion was always to become a state champion. You know, when I did that, my passion was to become a national champion. And I always did have aspirations to try to wrestle in the Olympic level, you know, to try to win a gold medal. But after my junior season wrestling, and, you know, I was hoping to win my national title that year. Unfortunately, I finished seventh. And so it broke my heart. You know, it was rough. And I was thinking about quitting at that time. You know, I remember that summer getting a stack of letters from a group of third graders in Atlanta. They sent them to Arizona State, and my coaches gave them to me. And I guess the teacher had read them a wrestling article about me to the class. And so even though I had lost, even though I hadn't won, they still wanted to write me as their hero of the month. And so I literally had 30 handwritten letters from these third graders just saying how they admired me, how they looked up to me, and it inspired me. I felt like those kids were looking at me as an example. You know, and I had an obligation not only to come back for myself, but for those kids. That gave me a new passion to pursue in my life as well. You know, just trying to help others, trying to help motivate others, which is why I got into my career now of motivational speaking. And so, you know, being there that night, my senior year in the national finals, I was crying before I even ran out there to wrestle that last match because, you know, I knew I was going to miss the wrestling, the competition, and I mean, I just thought about my journey of getting there, all the hard work and the blood I'd spilt, you know, the sweat I'd poured. And, you know, it was hard to walk away, but I felt like my heart was going into a new place. I mean, it's been amazing. I've been speaking to elementary schools, high schools, universities, halfway houses, professional sports teams, businesses. It's more than just medals for me now.
What do you say to these young people who are looking up at you and saying, whoa, if I think I've got it bad?
I just tell them, I said, you're unstoppable. You know, the only person that can hold you back is yourself. And people might tell you things are impossible. They might tell you you can't do things. You might even think that yourself sometimes. And I know I did. When you're on that line, you know, with whatever you're wrestling, when you're standing on that line, you're looking at it, don't focus on the obstacle. You know, you keep fighting until the very end. And then until the last second is off that clock, because you can get your arm raised. You can always accomplish your dreams.
Anthony Robles, congratulations, and thanks so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Well, thank you for having me.
Creo en lo imposible. Que la locura más cuerda es buscar cómo ser libre. Creo en lo imposible. Que de nuestras espaldas brotarán las alas que nos harán volar invencible.
Anthony Robles is a Hall of Fame former wrestler, a motivational speaker, and the author of a memoir titled Underdog to Undefeated, How I Became a Champion.